How many of you have faced doubt or confusion, uncertainty, despair in your lives? And I'm not talking about the doubt of where's the coffee this morning. But how many of you have been in that position and you've said to yourself, you've said out loud, why me, Lord? Why'd this have to happen? Where do I go next? What do I do next? You see, if you found yourself in that situation, you're at what we might want to call the crossroads of life. Crossroads of events, of situations that impact us from day to day, from time to time, or frequently or infrequently, you take your choice. But sometimes it's because of hurt, because it's disappointment, or because we've just chosen to not listen and to not listen to God or open ourselves up to Him when we say, God, why have you left me? Why have you allowed this to happen? Actually, standing at those crossroads can challenge you to slow down, to stop, or as I like to say, to stop and think, to stop and to listen to the voice of God, and as you do so, to let scriptural teachings bring truth to your heart and alignment with what you understand as God's will for your life. An understanding that, by the way, will change from time to time. I think we call that growing in our faith and our understanding of God. But when you grow in your faith and when you turn to the scriptures looking for that answer of why me, Lord? What do I do next? Give me direction, give me advice. We discover that it really doesn't begin with me. It begins with God reaching out to you, to me, to each one of us, with His direction, His compassion, His solutions, His always being the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. One of the main themes about God, that God is consistent. An important theme about God, He's always the same. And in that being the same, into that consistency, is God's always wanting us to reconcile ourselves and our relationships with Him and with one another. And I think there's more to what is found in Isaiah. Yes, Isaiah is responding to a vision from a dream. But Isaiah's words ring true to where we are today and to our relationships with one another and, quite frankly, with God. You remember the words, you've probably used them many times yourselves. Let us reason together. Let us be reasonable people. Let us think things through. And you see, that is not a call from Isaiah, from God, or anywhere else for us to come before God to argue or to plead our case. But it's an invitation to approach situations with open minds, with open hearts, to let down our guard and to actually listen, and to listen with thoughtfulness. A thoughtfulness that causes us to face the hurts or the misunderstandings that have come between that good relationship with one another or with God. Quite frankly, you're probably thinking, well, you know, that falls under the category of not scripture, but of easier said than done, because it does. And that's because we're humans. It's because we dig in our heels and we resist. And I don't know about you, but I have calloused heels from digging them in so often. Now, Paul advises us that that reconciliation starts with God. It started with God through Christ. Paul provides a powerful message about God's nature by confirming that reconciliation isn't just something God did long time ago and it ended. No, it's always, it's ongoing, it's consistent. He is still doing that, and he is still doing that reconciling in us and through us. And not only reconciling our relationship with him, but providing guidance on how to reconcile our relationships with one another. You see, before we ever turned to God, God did take the first step. He offered his forgiveness before we sought it. He offered he invited us to restore relationships to him before we realized that we had turned away from him or ignored his desires for our lives. Paul's instructions includes be reconciled to God. When? Not when that proverbial can's been kicked down the road far enough that it reaches the curb and can't be kicked any further. But to begin now, today, at 11:14 on Sunday morning. I know that's why the clock's there, not to tell me when to stop. I'm not going any further on that. Anyway, we're not talking about temptation. We're talking about reconciliation. Anyway, those of you that know me know what I mean. But Paul's instructions are to not wait. God isn't waiting for us to fix ourselves before we come to him. We sing, just as I am, I come. And that is a truism of our faith. That we come to God just as we are. We are individuals in the process of being healed in our relationships. And that's how we come to God. Charles Spurgeon, a prince of preachers, as he's called, one that Eric quotes from time to time, and I quote, and I study, states, reconciliation begins when God makes us new, when his forgiveness reshapes the way we see him and the way we treat one another. I think Spurgeon hits at one of the hearts of the gospel with that very message. The heart of while we were distant, while we were unsure, while we didn't understand, or perhaps were uninterested, God refused to give up on us. He came toward us, he forgave us, he accepted us, and now he invites us to show that same grace to the people we encounter daily. So if reconciliation begins with God, if God has already taken the first step, what's the question become? The question becomes, what will we do with that grace? Reconciliation isn't just something to put out there and to admire because it's up on the screen or we've read it in the scripture and say, oh, that's interesting. It's not something to put on a motivational poster. It's something that demands our action. And Paul, again, doesn't ask us to think about it. He instructs us to act. He writes that we are to be reconciled to God. And that's a command. And an invitation. An invitation from God about our relationships. And quite frankly, what you do with that invitation is entirely up to you. It's nothing anybody can make you do. It's only an invitation that's out there for you to accept or to reject. And it doesn't even require you to bring a gift or a covered dish. It asks you to come just as you are. And so, will you let God provide guidance in bringing understanding that heals the divisions in your life? See, we're invited to do so, to slow down, to think about it. After all, what do we gain by holding on to the divisions and the hostilities and the bitterness that sometimes enter our lives? Well, we might gain a broken balloon, and then another broken balloon. And I guess that's fine if you like living that way. But it's certainly not the message of reconciliation that Paul writes about in calling us to be ambassadors for Christ. It's not the message that we speak about when we talk about our testimony or our witness. See, our witness and our message is contained in our hearts and how it is that we respond with faith and with love and with God's grace to those situations before us. Paul writes, God has given us this ministry of reconciliation. Again, it's more than just a gift we receive, it's a discipline. It's a discipline we're responsible for accepting and incorporating into our lives. So instead of clinging to the pain of resentment and misunderstanding, we're directed to relate to one another with the same love and mercy that God has shown to us. Now, that doesn't pretend that the pain we sometimes experience doesn't exist, because it does. There's just some pain in life that you can't get away from. But instead of clinging to it, we are directed to relate to one another with the same love and mercy that God has shown us through Christ. And by doing so, our lives will become more meaningful. So how do we do this? I mean, that's easy, as you said. It's easier said than done. I keep looking for scriptures where it says that, but it just doesn't. But there's a lot of easier saids than dones in what we study in the scriptures. Well, we do this by listening to the Holy Spirit and following the Holy Spirit's acting within us and through us. It's that Holy Spirit that equips us to stop and to think before we speak, to listen before we pop off, to seek understanding before we initiate judgment, and to trust that God does work with us to heal what he feels is broken. And when we live that way, our relationships reflect God's heart and his grace. And through the Holy Spirit's acting within us and through us, his grace quietly begins using us to change negative situations into something far more positive. Well, what about being ambassadors for Christ? For all, Paul addresses our being ambassadors, and he writes that to be effective in our roles, again, we must be reconciled to God, because God first reconciled himself to us. Or if you would be more comfortable, first reconciled us to him. Either way you look at it, either way you say it, it is the same. We have been reconciled to God because of God's actions. Paul invites us to honor God and to realize that God trusts us in continuing what He, God, has started. The message clearly invites us to always model God's grace, a grace that we extend to one another, we live out in our homes, in our workplaces, in our churches, and in our circles of influence. And we do this in such a way that we are living reminders of God's acting. You see, whenever there is tension or misunderstanding, we have a responsibility not only to pray for God's guidance, but to act on that guidance. So often we hide behind, "I'll pray for it," and then we don't act on what it is we prayed that God would use us to do. It's almost like, "Here, God, I've given you your marching orders, now go do it, and I'll go do what I'm going to do." No, as we pray for that, through a reconciled relationship with God, we're working together to bring the solutions that we're asking God to help us create, to offer the leadership that we're asking God as Christ's ambassadors, as God's ambassadors, to perform through us. Because you see, reconciliation restores unity and it strengthens our witness as people of faith, as Christians. It doesn't stop the chasms of separation that enter our lives, but it does restore relationships. It does build bridges that reflect the unity of God's kingdom. Remember, Jesus prayed that his followers may be one so that the world may believe. That's a unity. That's not going 100 different directions. I kind of thought about that in our Sunday school lesson today when we were talking about the millions crossing the dried out Red Sea. You know, Moses kept them together. But you know, it must have been like herding chickens through a field of jello. Not a pretty picture at all. Your acts to forgiveness, attempts to reason, to understand, and your intentional steps towards restoring relationships gives testimony to God's working through you. After all, these actions are reflections of your love for God, the reflections of how you honor your covenant to follow God, to follow Christ, and to work with them, and to give testimony to the fact that reconciliation demonstrates that God's love is stronger than any division and that the Holy Spirit is at work whenever you accept and to follow Him. Talks about being a new creation. How often can I be a new creation? If I'm a new creation today, do I need to be a new creation tomorrow, next week, a month later? When does new quit being new? Or is it a renewed creation? A creation that gains momentum, a creation that gains strength as we're renewed by understanding how the Scriptures are calling us or instructing us to live our lives. We approach each situation differently as we grow in our faith. And my position is, as we grow in our faith and approach things differently, we have a new vision, a new way of approaching what it is that's ahead of us. And that's where we become a new creation. When we live as people who are reconciled to God, our attitudes, our relationships, our faith, our understanding, our experiences of following God are reshaped each time. It's kind of like the old saying about mistakes. You know, I've made more mistakes than any reasonable person should make. Well, what'd you learn? Well, I learned not to do it again. But I learned how to approach that situation differently. The only place that doesn't apply is in a math problem. I mean, there's a lot of confusion in math. I'm not even getting a reaction. And I'm trying. He's shaking his head at me. Anyway, it just sort of hit me. I can't help myself. But no, it's, you know, my notes are talking about there are certainties in life, and math formulas, by and large, are certain. You know, there's some variation. But there's also uncertainties in life. And in those uncertainties, as we apply our faith, we learn the new ways to address them. And that, again, becomes a new creation. Again, Paul's reference to new creations is that Christ not only restores our relationships with Him, but includes a change in how we live and how it is that we relate to others. Becoming a new creation involves change in us. Our old ways of resentment, pride, division, hostility can no longer define us. You see, the outcome of all of this is that as new creations, we strive to live by modeling the same forgiveness, the same love that God first showed to us through His Son. And when forgiveness takes root, reconciliation grows. It grows by healing what's been wounded and bringing peace where at one time there was distance. So today we presented reconciliation as beginning with God and continuing through each one of us. And that gives us the courage and the humility to extend God's forgiveness and understanding to others. And as we do this, our relationships, our communities, our Christian witness, our church, and ultimately the world becomes a more positive place, giving testimony to more positive relationships with God. So today, each one of you, each one of us, are invited to accept our responsibility to face ourselves and others as agents of God's reconciling work. By allowing His Holy Spirit to meet us at life's crossroads, and by meeting us to renew us, to guide us in healing wounded relationships, to restore unity and respect, and send us out on positive roads, sending us out as God's people, striving for unity in Christ that brings peace and healing rather than division. Amen.
Psalm 96, verse 8. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. As we've come into His courts this morning, let us share our offerings for the blessing of God's kingdom. I invite our ushers to come forward. Thank you. Dear Lord, you are the giver of every good gift. Accept these offerings, we pray, that through them we may be a blessing to people searching for you and for your peace. Amen.
Reconciliation starts with God acting in us, and then we extend that reconciliation to others, a ministry of reconciliation, verse 18. And with that, we start healing, and we can start building God's kingdom. For our closing song, we will be singing Build Your Kingdom Here. Following the spoken benediction, we will sing Trees of the Field.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. Kingdom first, we hunger and we thirst, refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize, to see the captive's hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at least, we lay down our lives for heaven's cause. Kingdom here, let the darkness fear, show your mighty hand, heal our streets and land, set your church on fire, win this nation back, change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here. Kingdom's power, reaching the near and far, no force of hell can stop your beauty changing hearts. You made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom, see in us, fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are church. We are the hope on earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Kingdom here, we pray. Build your kingdom here, let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire, win this nation back. Change the your kingdom here, we pray.
And now we go from this place, a place of worship, a place of meditation, a place of thanksgiving. And we go recognizing God's charge to us to live as new creations, to live through God's forgiveness, his reconciling grace. And so as we go, may the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives, in our attitudes, in our values, and our examples and our witness give testimony to God's acting in our lives and the strength of our faith as we seek to serve him in all that we do. Amen.
You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands.